The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth.
America has a really serious problem. And here it is. We don't even know who we are. Even worse, we don't even care. We don't even care that we don't know. Only 26% of Americans can name all three branches of our government. 26%. Now, this is a little depressing, but it has been brought to us by the annual Constitutional Day Civics Survey. According to the survey, more than one-third of Americans cannot name any of our First Amendment rights. Any, not one. There's five, by the way. They can't name one. Now, how is that even possible? In a nation where you have to go to school by law. We have less of an excuse than any previous generation of Americans for knowing, for not knowing the basic mechanics of our government. I mean, there was a time when you couldn't find this stuff. There was a time when, you know, you couldn't afford a book. You couldn't get to school. School wasn't mandated, whatever the excuse was. But we have more tools and resources at the touch of a button than our ancestors could have ever dreamt of. And yet, they would be sad to know how little we know. It is pathetic. Pathetic that the generation with the most information is the least informed. Any population that doesn't know the basic functions of its own government, doesn't know its fundamental rights, is asking, is begging to be taken advantage of. Our Constitution is the longest running constitution in the world. 229 years and counting, but that doesn't make us invincible. This is an experiment. And it requires participation. It requires our attention. It requires care from us Americans. But we're not willing to give it, it seems. Although I think America needs a scolding, this isn't a scolding. This is a plea. Let's help each other learn the basics. Let's stop fighting about stupid statues. And please, let's fix this before it's too late for our children. The story goes that Benjamin Franklin walked out of the Constitutional Convention at the very end, and a woman came up and said, "Mr. Franklin, what sort of government have you given us?" He said, "A republic. If you can keep it." Well,
it's Wednesday, September 13th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
How fragile is our union, our republic, our country? This is the reason why we're successful. There are several reasons. The reason why we're successful is that we're stable. We don't have revolutions. We don't have strife in the streets. That's rare. The West has provided that. Now, why is it different in the West? Well, it's different in the West because we rule ourselves under Judeo-Christian principles. But those are almost gone. You can't say Jesus anymore. You can't say I have a duty to God anymore. You're a crazy person. So if you remove those things, nature abhors a vacuum. What have we replaced it with? Well, nothing intentionally, but a whole buttload of stuff unintentionally. We now have the radical right and the radical left, and the media only wants to pay attention to the radical right. And the right media only wants to pay attention to the radical left. That leaves, I believe, about 80% of the population saying, "I don't want anything to do with any of these guys." I want nothing to do with these guys. I don't want revolution. I don't want to burn it down to the ground. If I hear that one more time from a so-called conservative, my head will explode. We just got to burn the whole thing down. Really? Really? Huh. That's interesting. How about we restore it? And the only way to restore it is if we all know our rights ourselves. We all know our responsibilities ourselves. That we restore first what the thing is in our own head. I read a story from the New York Times. They were asking, are we headed for a new civil war? Now, this was in the New Yorker, and I don't know, I think the Atlantic has done something on this. Are we headed for a new civil war? Now, remember when I was warning about this 10 years ago, that was crazy talk. I said there will be an American spring, a European spring. That's, I believe, Brexit is the beginning of that. And then there will be an American spring. Now, I thought they were going to come a lot sooner than they have. But now, that was crazy talk. That was just trying to scare people into buying gold or whatever it is I'm always accused of doing. Now that the left is on it, now that there's a Republican in office, now it's time to talk about civil war. Please, can we get politics out of this? Please. Both sides are to blame. Keith Mines, he's a guy who was in U.S. Army Special Forces. He was at the State Department. He has seen civil wars. This was his job. Afghanistan, Colombia, El Salvador, Iraq, Somalia, Sudan. He came home and last March, he said, what I'm seeing happening here is what happens all around the world. I can't believe what I have been studying and watching and helping hold hands through revolution and civil war all throughout the world is now coming home in my country. And he said he believes there's a 60% chance of civil war over the next 10 to 15 years. Other experts have said there's a 5% to 95% chance. So that's kind of a wide range there. This guy said the consensus was only 35% 5 months before Charlottesville. We keep saying that it can't happen here, but it will. It absolutely will. If you keep saying it can't happen here. Yes, it can. You know why? Because humans are humans. If you missed yesterday's show, you missed a lot. And I don't know how many people heard the message in hour number two. But the message in hour number two was very, very clear. It came from Max Licato. And Max Licato has written a new book, and it's about chaos and about anxiety that we have. We have more anxiety as people than any other group of people in the history of recorded anxiety. So as long as they've been measuring anxiety, we're at the top. We're number one. I don't want to be number one in that one. I don't know about you. I don't think we want to master that one. So where's that coming from? Where is this anxiety coming from? This anxiety is coming from, I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about the future. I'm worried about the loans that I have. I'm worried about the student loans. I'm worried about sending my kids to college because is it worth it? I'm worried about sending my kids to college because they'll be programmed into some sort of a Marxist anarchist. I don't know how to even talk to people because everything I might say, I might call them the wrong gender, and there's 93 genders and nobody's explained any of them to me. And I don't know what I can say to anybody without getting yelled at or called a bigot or a hate monger. That's why we're upset. And what is the media offering us? It's their fault. Both sides. That's it. And there's a lot of people who are like, well, I know it's not my fault. There's a lot of people who say, I've been warning about this for a long time. And so when your only option is it's their fault or their fault, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. What most people have done, and that is unplug. They're just like, I'm not paying attention to any of it anymore. That's what most people have done. Most people are not watching CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. That is a fraction of our population. They're not doing that. And yet they're feeling the anxiety as well because something's not right. Now, here is why civil war happens. Now, see if we hit any of these. These are the five things that have to happen for a country to be prepped for civil war. Number one, entrenched national polarization with no obvious meeting place for resolution. Well, I don't think we have that, do we? I mean, that sounds really clear. That's right where we are. Increasingly divisive press coverage and information flows. I think we got that one down. Weakened institutions, notably the Congress or Parliament and the judiciary branch. Think we have that. Congress, when the president said, by the way, this isn't the president's job, DACA needs to go back to Congress. Congress said, we don't want that job. Weakened institutions? Well, I don't know. It's got, what is it, a 6 or a 9% approval rating right now. Couldn't get any weaker. And they are doing it to themselves. They don't even want their own responsibility. The next one, a sellout or an abandonment of responsibility by political leadership. Well, I'm sorry, what was I just saying a minute ago? Oh, yeah, that's right. They don't want that. The legitimization of violence as in the way to either conduct discourse or solve disputes. How many people right now are telling you it's the only way? It's the only way. We're in a civil war and there's no other way. I mean, when are you going to pick up your gun? How much is enough? That's where we're at. These are the conditions that you need to have a civil war, and we have them all. And I'm telling you now, we're in a cold civil war. Right now, we are experiencing a cold civil war. So what's the way out? Which country has ever reversed this? What role do we play in our nation's future? And what is the shock of events, and how does that shape our tomorrow? Coming up. When it comes to buying a mortgage, buying or refinancing, you need people that take away the stress from your life, not add more to it. That's why there's American Financing. They are salary-based mortgage consultants. Now, this is really important because most people think that they're going into the bank and or they're calling some, you know, mortgage company and they're working for you. They're not. They're usually working for the banks or the lenders. And they're selling you. It's like when we go in and get a mortgage, it is the same as going in and buying a used car, except it would be the same as going in and buying a used car. If you believed that the car dealer or the car salesman was actually on your side, I don't know. I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk to the boss about this one. We all know that they're going back and they're laughing. They're playing cards. They're doing whatever. We did everything we could. We just couldn't do anything. That is what a mortgage company usually does, because they're being paid. Not only do they make money for selling those interest instruments to you, that mortgage, because that's what they're doing. They're selling it to you. But they also get bonuses if they sell a certain one that the banks want you to buy. American Financing does not play that game. They work for you. Straightforward, effortless mortgage experiences. They're also doing reverse mortgages, which is a way for you to increase monthly cash flow with no mortgage payment while still retaining ownership of your home. But please do your homework on this. I want you to call their number, 1-800-906-2440. You want to refinance? You want a new mortgage? Call 800-906-2440 or online at AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck.
Is America headed for a new civil war? I just gave you the things that the conditions that have to happen for a civil war, according to experts, and we have all of them. But the choice is still us. We still have to make the choice to do it. Yale historian says slavery tore apart the country over 15 years. It tore both political parties apart. It destroyed the Whig Party, which was replaced by the Republican Party, and divided the Democratic Party into northern and southern parts. So this Yale historian is now telling you the same thing that I told you 10 years ago. Watch for the Whig moment. Watch for that moment, that beat down in the well of the Senate. And watch for the moment when somebody in the political party says, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if anybody has the political courage to do that anymore. There's also something that you should be aware of. In the 1850s, there was something called the shock of events. Just gigantic events that happened that the country was not good at absorbing. That there's just these huge shocks, and it forced everybody to reposition themselves, and reposition themselves in ways they didn't see necessarily coming. The Fugitive Slave Act, the Dred Scott decision, the John Brown raid, the Mexican-American War. These things happen, and people found that they couldn't absorb them. They couldn't take that shock. And it actually started to pit people against each other. Now, how? The Fugitive Slave Act? The Dred Scott decision? How is that possible that you don't know what side you're on? Because while most people in the South were not for slavery, most people in the South were not slave owners. The vast majority were not slave owners. Had nothing to do with slavery. It had been positioned as a North versus South, they're coming after your rights. By whom? By politicians. By people who wanted power. By people who were making money off of the backs of slaves and did everything they could to convince you or to convince the South that they're coming after because they don't like you, because they want to see an end of our way of life. We're hearing that now. And it causes polarization, radical polarization. You're really? So you must be for the Nazis. Really? So then you're for the communists, anarchists of Antifa. No, I'm not for either of those. That's a false choice. And that's where most people are. And we have to remember that. That and this, published in 1867, The lessons of this Civil War should never depart from us. And it's this, that the American people have no exemption from the ordinary fate of humankind. It can happen here. If we sin, we will suffer for our sins, like the empires that are tottering and the nations that have perished.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
They'll move on and no one will remember who they were. That is what Mike Ditka gave to the NFL players to the that are kneeling during the national anthem. Nobody's ever going to remember who you are.
There's always going to be some malcontents. So let them be malcontents. Let them do their thing and they'll move on. Nobody will think about it. Nobody will remember who they were. The fact that they didn't stand for the national anthem, that's their own. You know, they have a right to do that. They have a right to do anything they want to do. I just disagree with it.
Okay, so far, I think Ditka is right. Second year in a row, the NFL TV ratings are down. Thursday night season opener was a TV ratings disaster. It was down 12 points from last year. But that didn't stop the players in seven NFL teams from taking a knee on Sunday. So let's first of all call this exactly what it is. Fake activism. Oh my gosh, you're so brave. Oh, you're so brave. You're taking all of that money and you're playing a game. Oh, that's brave of you. And then you're going to kneel down. Oh, that's wonderful. Here's the thing. America is being ripped apart by self-serving attention seekers. And I mean that even in my own business. I'll even say me, perhaps. You can't tell what people are doing things for. You have no idea. Marshawn Lynch, running back for the Oakland Raiders. He sat during the anthem. He didn't bother to explain why he was doing it. So why was he doing it? And what is it people are protesting? Kaepernick started all of this in the NFL. And his case perfectly explains what this wave of phony activism really is all about. Attention. That's it. Attention. Everyone is doing it for their own benefit. It is fascinating to me that how Collins' activism suddenly appeared out of nowhere the moment he lost all relevancy. But he's brave. He's like the athletes of the 60s. No, no, he's not. He's not. When George Foreman was in his prime, it was during a period in our history when racial tension was actually at its highest. And we had a really good reason. Foreman was just asked about what he thought about Kaepernick and what was going on in the NFL.
You know, the shame part of it, all of us, including Joe Frazier, myself, and a few more, even to this day, we became the heavyweight champ of the world. And we actually thought we would turn into Muhammad Ali. We didn't realize just because you're a champion, you don't become Muhammad Ali. So a lot of us start doing things to get some attention so people would praise us or hate us or talk about us like they did Muhammad Ali. Some of us never got it. Now, the 60s started the trend. Today, there's nothing to say about anyone. And a lot of guys said, look, I got all this money, but nobody knows me. So let me say something like Muhammad Ali, and maybe I'll be different. And that's all that is.
You hear that from George Foreman? This doesn't have anything to do with a cause. This is all about marketing. This is all about being a product. This is all about attention. It's all about being relevant. All they want is relevance. Don't give it to them.
Hillary Rodham Clinton has spent the last 10 months trying to figure out why she isn't president of the United States.
That is Hillary Clinton. Her new book is coming out, and they have been on this tour of trying to figure out exactly why she lost. Okay. It's really not that hard. It's really not that hard. Can we? Again, it's about selling books. It's about being relevant. Hillary Clinton is not relevant. She's not.
She needs to start kneeling on an NFL field.
Yes.
Then maybe people will buy her book.
Helpful. What she's doing instead is she's writing a book and saying, here's all the things that I have. Here's all the things I've been up against. Well, we all have. Tell me, if I gave you 20 minutes of airtime, could you come up and fill those 20 minutes of airtime with all the things that you've been up against? Can you come up with 20 minutes of stuff that is like, man, I didn't make it because of X, Y, and Z? I know I could. I could. Does it matter? How is that relevant to anybody's life? Here's the deal. It didn't work. Okay, move on. She is claiming to take responsibility, but here's Hillary Clinton on all of the things and the reasons why she's not president.
Hillary Rodham Clinton has spent the last 10 months trying to figure out why she isn't president of the United States.
I'm not going to step back from telling my truth. The idea of a woman president, white, authoritarian. There was something that was personal toward me. The Russians weaponizing information, negative stories about me, this whole WikiLeaks of John Podesta's emails, they were taken out of context. We now know Facebook, voter suppression, feeds in, I think, to the whole sexism and misogyny. And the attacks were so sexist. A lot of the sexism and the misogyny, and then let's not forget sexism and misogyny. We really don't want a woman commander in chief. Nostalgia. Yeah, millions of white people. The forces that were at work, it was a perfect storm using personal email. Presented in such a negative way, I don't know quite what audience he was playing to. Right-wing commentators, right-wing members of Congress, but for that Comey letter, she would have won. So badly damaged because of that. 11 days before the election, it just stopped my momentum. Help me make sense of that. There was anger and there was resentment. A lot of people didn't want to hear my plans. Trump was behaving in a deplorable manner. A large number of people who didn't care. Oh, but they were already energized. I don't buy that. Having him scowling and leering, it was so discombobulating. Back up, you creep. You know, maybe I missed a few chances of, you know, my share of Chardonnay. I wanted to tell what happened, and the primary was part of what happened. Won a landslide victory in the primary. I didn't get the same respect from my primary opponent. A lot of his supporters continue to harass. Well, you're supporting a woman because you're a woman. Yes, and they're still out there. And Bernie's not a Democrat. It's very hurtful. Enough.
Wow.
Enough is right.
Enough is exactly the way that should end. Enough.
That's amazing. From the Washington Free Beacon going through. That's one interview. All of those clips were from one interview. That wasn't every excuse she's ever made for losing. That was all the excuses she made in one interview for losing. It's amazing, too. And the sexism one is completely infuriating. Hillary Clinton, faced with the most important decision of her entire life, the person who would be number two in charge of the United States of America picked a dude named Tim.
Yeah, but
that is it.
But only she only picked that because she knew America couldn't handle two women.
That is basically, I mean, isn't that sexist? She could have picked a woman to that role. She had the ultimate power to select anyone she chose, and she chose a dude named Tim.
I can't take the excuses. I really can't. I just can't. And we all have to get to this point to where we're like, okay, you know, buck stops with me. Dude, didn't work. And I can tell you all the things that went into why it didn't work. But really, pretty much, they all kind of come back down to me. And I know because I'm doing this right now. I'm in my own company. Oh, Glenn Beck, he's whatever. Whatever. I can tell you a list of reasons. I can give you all kinds of stuff. But when it all comes down to it, me. It's me. I learned really early on in this business, and it's no different in politics. They're really rejecting you. They're really rejecting you. if you don't have something good to say, some difference of perspective, if you don't have something of real value and you're not likable, you're going to fail. If people think you're a fraud, you will fail. If you're not likable, you will fail. If you don't have something different and new and something of real meaning, you will fail. Might take you a while, but you'll fail. It's taken Hillary Clinton a long time, but she failed. And she failed for several reasons. She was out of touch and out of step. It has nothing to do with whether she's wearing a pantsuit or a suit suit. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Her gender does not matter. She was out of step with the American people. She just felt like the 1990s. That's quite honestly, that is why almost everybody failed, except for Donald Trump. He reflected a new kind of attitude in America. You can hate it, but it's true. People were done with the same kind of politician that we always have. We had some really good politicians, really good. America didn't want them. America wanted something different, radically different. Hillary Clinton was the stodgiest of all of them up there. When you're presented with, hey, let's go relive the 1990s and have more of the same, America wasn't in for more of the same. That's just one reason. She just felt like more of the same. Second reason, she's not likable. She's just not likable. And I know people who are big fundraisers for Hillary Clinton. They've been on the... I know people who have worked for Hillary Clinton, who have long since passed that post of, she's just not likable. I mean, I might believe her. I might want her to be the president, but she's not a likable person because there's nothing real or authentic about her.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the definition. It's because she's not real. If you remember the Kate McKinnon take of her on Saturday Night Live, the impression of her was really accurate as to what her problem was.
Yes.
Her problem was she was constantly calculating, constantly trying to say whatever she had to say to bring a few more votes through that door. And it winds up being so inauthentic to the average person. They know, they can sense.
So here's the thing. Here's why Donald Trump could be much more ostentatious than Hillary Clinton and get away with it. Donald Trump comes flying in on his big jet that says Trump on the side. It's not the campaign's, it's his. He comes out with his gold-plated cufflinks and, my luxurious whatever fill in the blank. And people were willing to accept that from him because that is who he is. There is nothing disingenuous about him. He likes the gold-plated, Louis the 14th or whichever Louis it was kind of furniture that he surrounds himself with. That's him. That is him. And people are willing to accept you as you. Hillary Clinton, everybody knows she's not driving around in a minivan and loves to go and, eat with the people at whatever. That's not her. Donald Trump eating McDonald's on his jet? That's him. That's him. He likes fast food and Louis the 14th furniture on his jumbo jet. That's Donald.
And people accepted Hillary's husband for the same stuff.
Exactly right.
They were fine with him jamming hamburgers down his throat as he was on.
Because
it was real.
It was real.
That's who he was.
Right. So when she goes on a listening tour and she's hanging out with the folk, at the fairs, which I love county fairs. No, you don't. No, you don't. And it's okay that you don't.
A lot of people don't.
There's
a lot of weird smells at them.
Right.
I'll be honest about it.
I happen to like the state fairs. I like that kind of stuff, but I grew up with it. And if that makes me a freak, great. It makes me a freak. It makes her a freak? Good. It makes her a freak. If she doesn't like them, doesn't matter.
There is that point, however, when you cross over from smells from fried foods to manure and back. that borderline, that line of demarcation is not positive.
Yeah, I don't think we do need
it's not a positive.
That's not really
smell.
That's not where we're going, unless you're just talking about the stuff that has to be shoveled up after the politicians leave. Liberty Safe makes hundreds of safes every day right here in America. One of their most popular safe brands that they produce are the Cabela safes. You go into a Cabela's, anything that's marked Cabela's, that's actually a Liberty Safe. And this month, Cabela's has put together a safe sale like never before. It is the Safe Timber sale. Safe Timber. Oh, boy. Somebody was actually paid to come up with that.
It was Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee wrote that line.
And they like printed signs and everything. Somebody went home and went, "What'd you do today, honey? I came up with Safe Timber. Anyway, you can save hundreds of dollars right now on the huge selection of Cabela's safes. Liberty and I have been friends and partners for over 8 years. It's got to be. It just seems like longer than 8 years. And there is nothing like a Liberty Safe. If you want...
Yeah, but what month should I buy it in? I can't think of one.
Safe-tember.
Oh, what a great
idea. Oh my gosh, it's September, Safe-tember now.
Oh, that's right. I should buy it right now.
Peace of mind, lifetime warranty, the in-home delivery service, all convenient. Head over to your nearest Cabela's store, find the hot deals on Cabela's safes, Liberty Safe, saving you hundreds of bucks, and the best-built safe on the planet. Visit libertysafe.com or head over now to your nearest Cabela's store for Safe-tember. You know, it's amazing how the hurricane relief that Hollywood did raised $44 million. As you know, a football player raised $20 million. We've raised, what, $3 million just on this one show, just with us and you, $3 million. Hollywood has the networks, they have all of the stars, and they only raise $44 million? Why? Answer is really simple. They made it political. They didn't make it about service. They made it about politics.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth.
The Japanese-American patriots in our country who were interned into camps during World War II. While their family members were fighting for freedom for America and for the world in World War II, they were in camps, and they came for me. And now they're coming for the dreamers. This is something that we owe these dreamers for their patriotism, their courage, their optimism to come forward.
Welcome to a new feeling for those of you on the left. Skepticism of government. Welcome. It's where we all should be. This is the problem with big government. Trump announced that he might rescind DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Since that time, there's a growing fear on the left that the information collected under this program might be used to find DACA recipients and deport them, or worse now, according to Nancy Pelosi. There are 800,000 illegal immigrants who applied for temporary protection under the DACA program. They gave the government a ton of personal information, where they live, where they work, where they went to school. They gave them their photographs and fingerprints. They gave them everything. Congratulations. Congratulations on trusting the government when your guy is in. See, this is the problem, and this is the way it happens when there is a wild swing of power and you swing away from the Constitution, either right or left, doesn't matter. Power changes between the major parties, and that happens on a regular basis, and it's going to continue to happen unless we go into a new system. But for those who have preached that the government should not be entrusted or given access to your personal information, it's easy to say, "I told you so," but my better angels tell me this is an opportunity for all of us to learn, because there are people on the right who don't get it either. They are allowing the government to grow under their guy. There is a reason for separate but equal branches of the government. There is a reason for checks and balances. There is a reason we don't concentrate power. And there is a reason for healthy skepticism of our government. Because all you have to do is say, okay, my guy has it. It feels good, right? It feels good. But what happens when the next guy gets in?
It's Wednesday, September 13th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Only 37% of Americans can name any of the rights protected under the First Amendment. There are five of them, by the way. Just in the First Amendment, there are five rights. Can you name all five? If you can name all five, you are very rare. But only 37% can name any of the rights. And this is going to become very, very important because there's some things that feel good and there's some things that you just feel like that's right. That's right. As a knee-jerk reaction, like these Nazis have got to be shut up. Yeah, it does feel right, doesn't it? I mean, I don't want that. I don't want the Nazis around me. I don't agree with the Nazis. The Nazis have led to a lot of, you know, really bad, horrible things. Understatement of the century. I don't think they should be able to wait, because the First Amendment, it's only there because you need to protect the rights of everybody. And the only right of free speech that really needs protection is the stuff that everybody goes, right, we got to shut that down. That's crazy. The CEO of Cloudflare, which is which controls a lot of who gets on the internet and who doesn't get on the internet. The CEO's name is Matthew Prince. And a few weeks ago, he made a decision by himself to begin to regulate the internet. Michael Monahan from Vice spoke to him.
I found the Daily Stormer repugnant. I am not shedding a tear that that content isn't online anymore. But one of my fellow employees came up to me the day that we took it offline and said, hey, is this the day the internet dies?
There was no due process. You woke up one morning and you said, this is bad and I'm going to do something about it.
The thing that was the tipping point for us was I woke up one day and opened Twitter, and there were a whole bunch of screenshots of some of the people behind the site saying Cloudflare actually supports us and the upper echelons of their leadership are white nationalists.
But that's easily dismissed, though, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. But what it had become was such a distraction that we couldn't have the really important conversation about what role should Cloudflare be playing in regulating the internet. And so I am deeply concerned that I had the authority and the power to wake up one morning and say, you know what? I'm done. These guys, I'm sick of this. So they're off the internet.
That seems like a circus and kind of disturbing. Nobody should have that power. Michael Monahan from Vice joins us now. Michael, when you talked to him, I could see your frustration. I could see that I'm watching it and I'm thinking, because I'm thinking the same thing you are. Do you realize what you're even doing or saying? What were you left with?
Well, what I was left with was a few things. I mean, I don't like to ever use the phrase free speech fundamentalist because I don't like to associate the word fundamentalism with free speech. But I am somebody who is a free speech absolutist. Matthew Prince, the CEO of Cloudflare, knew that going in. And I told him, look, I understand why you did it. You're a private company. You can do what you want. We lurch into this thing. I mean, you were just talking about, you know, the expansion of government power. You know, we lurch into this area when, you know, companies like Cloudflare and Twitter and Facebook accrue so much power and influence that people say, hey, you know, we really should regulate them like public utilities. You know, I don't want that at all. And I think that Matthew Prince should be able to do what he does. I mean, in one clarification, by the way, Cloudflare doesn't host anything. Basically, what they do is they protect websites. They protect websites from denial of service attacks. And for listeners who don't know what that is essentially you can hire people, you can do it yourself, to press a button and to flood a website with bad data and to keep it offline. So Cloudflare will protect you from that and essentially keep you online. So what Matthew Prince did when he removed that protection from the Daily Stormer is he said, you know, you guys can go offline at any minute. And so effectively what happened. But, you know, I really like Matthew. I think it's a fascinating thing that he did wake up and say, I do have too much power. Most people who have too much power don't say that. They relish it and they envy having that much power. So, you know, I like the fact that he did that, but I don't buy, to be totally frank, when he says, you know, I just wanted to start a conversation. Okay, the conversation has started. I'm on Glenn Beck's radio show talking about it. You were on our program on HBO. Let them back on your network. No, that's not going to happen. And the Daily Stormer, and one must do the throat-clearing thing and say it is the most repugnant website of a series of repugnant fascist websites that harass people, troll people, et cetera. But, you know, they can't find a home online at that now. And you do get into some sticky territory because when GoDaddy, the enormous company GoDaddy, said, you know, you're not going to be on our network, GoDaddy was actually not hosting them. They were essentially, they were a DNS provider. And basically what that means is when you type in Daily Stormer into your browser, the DNS provider translates that word into a series of numbers and directs you to it. So it's essentially not like, you know, we're not allowing the pedophile to buy a house in our neighborhood. It's actually taking them off the map and taking all the street signs down. But I have a certain amount of faith in the American people and people everywhere that if they see this stuff, they will be repulsed by it and they won't be convinced by it.
Only 37% of the American people can name their rights protected under the First Amendment. What gives you the feeling that, I don't know, when I see people, you know, I have faith the American people are going to stand up against this when they don't even know what the First Amendment protects?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't really have that much faith in them. I'm this is me willing it in.
Yes. Okay. All right.
And I want. Yes. I want it. You know, they don't. They might know freedom of assembly, but not freedom of petition. I mean, these are pretty specific things. But you know, I actually have.
No. 37% only 37% can name any of the rights. Yes.
Well, one of the things that you'll notice recently, and it kind of collapses my confidence in people and their kind of understanding of constitutional rights, is this idea that exists in Europe that does not exist in the United States, you know, of hate speech.
Yes.
We do have hate crimes, and there's a conflation of those things, which I think are also, in a way, problematic of prosecuting people for the things that are going through their heads when they commit crimes that are already on the statute books. But I routinely talk to people that say that, you know, hate speech, we can't have hate speech, which doesn't exist. And as you said, you know, in your intro, there is a reason that we have First Amendment protections, and most people don't understand this. And that is not to protect my speech.
Yes.
It is to protect the most loathsome speech that is out there. And when we grimace at hearing this stuff, it doesn't mean that, you know, we should take this away because it will influence other people and make them bad people. The entire purpose of the First Amendment is to protect the speech of repulsive, knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing psychopaths like those who run the Daily Stormer.
So, Michael, what is the answer here? Because we've come into a country that is now so fearful that I think that reason has shut down, and so people are not in a place where they can say, you know what? I mean, let's look. Let's take it from another angle. Everybody has an opinion. Very few people have a different perspective, that's important that we look at things with perspective. It feels too good to say the Nazis and Antifa should be shut down to the average person. How do you make the case?
No, it feels great to say the Nazis should be shut down. I want them shut down, and I want them shut down in debate. I don't want them shut down by companies or by the government. And what I often hear is comparisons, as I just said, to European countries. And I'll give you one that is actually quite helpful. The Germans in the denazification process from sort of 1945 and up until, I would say, the American occupation ended, was a helpful thing, and it was a good thing. And I understand the instinct to ban Nazi symbols, to ban Mein Kampf, to ban Nazi rhetoric, and to ban Nazi-affiliated parties. I mean, they've been trying to ban the NPD, which is a sort of, post-Nazi party, for quite a long time. And they're pointed to as a success story, because you cannot have the Daily Stormer on a network if you are Google in Germany. I mean, you have to take it off your search engine. After Charlottesville, which, was, 300-400 idiots raging through Virginia and making a national and international spectacle, a similar Nazi march happened in Berlin that was larger. And every year, in the anniversary of the bombing of Dresden, and on Rudolf Hess's birthday, fascist Germans, take to the streets and they march. David Irving's books are banned in Germany. Holocaust denial is banned in Germany. Nazi symbols are banned in Germany. And the only copy that you can get of Mein Kampf in Germany is one that has been annotated recently by scholars. So you can't pick that up. You can get it on the internet, of course. This has not prevented hatred and fascism from laying down roots again in Germany. And you see this. And now, they haven't been incredibly successful in the political process, but do they exist? They certainly do. And there are more Nazis. My guess, and I'm just going to say I'm the guest to sort of preface this, is that proportionally there are probably more Nazis in all the European countries that ban Nazi propaganda than there are in the United States.
So Matthew Prince was hiding behind. I mean, he is a private individual in a private company. Mm-hmm. I think do have the right to choose who they work with. So we're balancing a couple of rights here. Yeah.
For sure.
However,
I don't want to have his rights. I don't want to regulate his rights in any way.
Correct. And I don't either. However, we're entering a time where Google and Facebook, in particular, they control so much that, if Google gets up in the morning and says, hey, you know what? We're just not going to be able. You're not going to be able to search for Vice anymore. Depending on who's in power and what's popular, et cetera, that's extraordinarily dangerous. How do you balance this? What is the answer? Have you come up with one?
Well, one of the things, I once pitched a story, and the people at Google gave me a very quick and a very swift no, and I probably should have pitched it in a different way. But I noticed that essentially Google, around the time of the Innocence of Muslims controversy, was acting essentially as a parallel State Department. I mean, they are interfacing with foreign governments. They are talking about policy and about what stuff that their citizens can see. And that gave me, this sort of free speech absolutist, a bit of a chill. And somebody also who doesn't want the government involved in this and saying what Google can and cannot do. I do not think they're a public utility. There are plenty of other options. I mean, if it's a case that there's a monopoly of one internet provider that is, running the show in an entire city, that's problematic. But, there's Yahoo, there's other search engines out there. But there isn't any easy answer to this other than to kick up a lot of, dust when this happens. I mean, you notice that the ACLU, for instance, has been pilloried by so many people, I think primarily on the left, for saying that these guys that are, marching in their jackboots and shaved heads through Charlottesville have the right to do that. I mean, I think the first battle is, convincing people, as you said, about, understanding constitutional rights, that people do have the right to these opinions, and we have a right to debate them, and we should debate them. I think the biggest problem right now is the fact that, younger people today and people I talk to routinely don't believe that free speech should be an unfettered right. They believe it's something that should be qualified if it lurches into the territory, of racism, sexism, homophobia, et cetera. That is my bigger concern, because I don't see it right now. I see, Facebook, they're sort of regulating stuff in their own way, but I see a lot of people going away from Facebook. I don't think Facebook is going to be the biggest thing in 10 years, much in the way that, Internet Explorer didn't have to be, broken up by the European Union because it was going the way of the dodo. So I think the technology changes, and I think there's a lot of stuff out there where, people can get this information. It's not really going anywhere, but I don't like the mindset. That's the thing that bugs me the most, is that we really have to get rid of this stuff. Because
Michael,
if it infects people's minds, then we're done.
Michael, thank you for your time.
Man, he's great. Michael Moynihan. He is the managing editor of Vice Magazine, and a better title, though, that he called himself Free Speech Absolutist. I love that. By the way, HBO has Vice News tonight. It airs Monday through Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And he was the guy who interviewed you on the very first episode of that show, right?
Yeah, and I grew to really like him and respect him. He is a constitutionalist. Equifax recently announced a breach that could affect 143 million Americans. Have you done your homework on this? So far, the organization determined that the credit card numbers for about 200,000 consumers, including the personal data, social security numbers, and about 180,000 consumers were accessed, which means somebody has it. And once your stuff is out, it's out, and it will always be out. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. Now, LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there is a problem, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. You're not calling somebody in India. It's somebody here. No one can prevent all identity theft. Nobody can, you know, monitor all transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. So go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. I want you to use the promo code Beck, and it'll save you 10% off your LifeLock membership. But you need to find out if you were part of this Equifax hack, if your stuff is out there, and you need to get LifeLock. LifeLock.com. Save 10% now. LifeLock.com. Promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck.
Only 37% can name any of the rights of the First Amendment. Any of them. There are five. Do you know what all five of those are? 1. Congress will make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to assemble. And here's the one that most people, I can't say most people, people who do know the First Amendment.
You can call me out. This is the one I forgot. We were in the commercial break, I came up with 4, and I forgot the last one.
Petition the government for redress of grievances. So in other words, that's us being able to go and say, hey, are you spying on us with the IRS? And you know what? That has to stop. That has to stop. Explain yourself. Stop. And then let's talk about how you're going to make this right. Those are five really important freedoms. And if only 37% can name any of those five, not five, just one of those, we're not a country that understands free speech.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There was a story that came out yesterday or the day before about Jim Carrey up at Fashion Week, and he gave a bizarre interview, and people on the right were cheering, people on the left were jeering, and I think we should look at this from a different perspective. I think there is something, there's something not right here, and I want to play for you the two sides of Jim Carrey. First, this is what happened at Fashion Week up in New York.
Hey, Jim Carrey. Yes.
What?
I've covered a lot of Fashion Weeks. This is the first time I've run in to Jim Carrey. Wait, tell me, is it true you're wandering the streets? You need a date to the party? What's up?
No. I'm doing just fine. There's no meaning to any of this. So I wanted to find the most meaningless thing that I could come to and join. And here I am.
They're celebrating.
I mean, you got to admit it's completely meaningless.
Well, they say they're celebrating icons inside.
Celebrating
icons.
Boy, that is just the absolute lowest aiming, possibility that we could come up with. It's like icons. Do you believe in icons? I don't believe in personalities. I don't believe that you exist, but there is a wonderful fragrance in the air.
You don't believe certain icons have the power to make change, to think differently, to be bold, to inspire others? Artistry, you're one of them.
On the good foot. Ha!
Yeah.
You shut it down now.
Yeah, no, I don't believe in icons. I don't believe in personalities. I believe that peace lies beyond personality, beyond invention and disguise, beyond the red S that you wear on your chest that makes bullets bounce off. I believe that it's deeper than that. I believe we're a field of energy dancing for itself. And I don't care.
But Jim, you got really dressed up for the occasion. You look good.
No,
was that an accident?
I didn't get dressed up.
Who did?
There is no me.
There's no you.
No.
We're not here. This is a dream.
There's just things happening. And there are clusters of tetrahedrons moving around together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's happening in our world right now? Because there is a lot of news that actually is relevant that's not that
Here's
uplifting.
The thing. It's not our world.
None
that's
of this is
key.
Real?
Nope.
So you're just passing
through.
We don't
matter. We don't matter.
Oh, wow.
There's the good news.
Okay.
Okay, so bizarre. And standing on itself, concerning. Concerning. Or enlightening. I'm not sure which. I do have a unique perspective on this, and there is a reason why I'm concentrating on Jim Carrey, because I think it is something that all of us need to see, because we will see this in our own lives. I promise you, we will see this in our own life. So here he is, almost nihilistic. Almost Nietzsche-like. There is no meaning. We don't matter. None of this matters. There is no reality. That's disturbing. Or is it a flippant commentary and a continuation of something that he did last week or the week before? He was speaking to a bunch of convicts, people that had been incarcerated, and he was doing work with Homeboy Industries in Los Angeles that serve people who have been incarcerated. And I want you to listen to what he said there.
And I want to speak to the fact that I believe that this room is filled with God. And that you are heroes to me, and I admire you. Because when you step through these doors, you decide to be a part of this family. You've made a decision to transcend and to leave darkness behind. And it takes a champion to make that decision. And I really want to speak to the fact that I've had some challenges in the last couple of years myself. Ultimately, I believe that suffering leads to salvation. And in fact, it's the only way that we have to somehow accept and not deny, but feel our suffering and feel our losses. And then we make one of two decisions. We either decide to go through the gate of resentment, which leads to vengeance, which leads to self-harm, which leads to harm to others, or we go through the gate of forgiveness, which leads to grace. And your being here is an indication that you've made that decision already. You've made the decision to walk through the gate of forgiveness to grace, just as Christ did on the cross. He suffered terribly, and he was broken by it to the point of doubt and a feeling of absolute abandonment, which all of you felt. And then there was a decision to be made. And the decision was to look upon the people who were causing that suffering, or the situation that was causing that suffering, with compassion and with forgiveness. And that's what opens the gates of heaven for all of us.
So what's happening with Jim Carrey? Is he nihilistic? Or has he stumbled onto something that maybe we all need to hear? You know, yesterday I was really concerned because I like him. He's funny. I don't know anything about him. He doesn't know, well, he may know me and he may hate me. God, most people in Hollywood do, but he's brought me a lot of joy in my life. And I know he has been through hell this year. But as I started to, yesterday I was bothered by it. And I thought, what is happening to him? And just by hearing those two things put together, I think I can explain it. And I think it is a really important lesson. I'm going to have to share that lesson with you tomorrow. Because right now, I need to tell you how he got there, in my opinion. As I have looked at what has been going on with Jim Carrey, he just said, my life has been a hell. You've got to go through real suffering. If you don't go through real suffering, you may not get it. And then when you do go through suffering, you're going to have to figure out which side are you on. Most of us haven't paid any attention to Jim Carrey's life. But right now, Jim Carrey is being sued by his girlfriend's mom. He's being sued because he is accused of giving his girlfriend drugs, and those drugs she used to commit suicide. He still has to go through this lawsuit. The judge hasn't thrown it out yet. He has denied all the accusations, but they've alleged that Carrey gave Percocet, Ambien, and what's the stuff that put Michael Jackson, wasn't fentanyl, propanol? And this is what his girlfriend, 2 days after they broke up, she wrote a note on Twitter that says, I'm just signing off from Twitter. Hope I've been a light to my nearest and dearest. Love to you all. And then she took a handful of these drugs and died. He's had some real soul-searching to go through. And so how do you explain a guy who was standing in front of a group of convicts saying what he said there, and then standing in front of Fashion Week, going to Fashion Week, and doing what he just did, saying what he said there? How do you square these two? What has Jim Carrey discovered, hope or despair? And what caused him to say that? A lot of people have an opinion. I'm really kind of done with everybody's opinions. I'm done with my opinion, quite honestly. I don't need to hear another person's opinion. I don't need opinions.
I feel the same way about your opinion.
Thank you very much. What I need is perspective. I need somebody who can say, wait a minute, have you looked at it this way? Wait a minute. Step back for a second. Because I've seen that in my own life. I've seen this in my own life. I've seen this in my own life right now. And it has caused me to be angry and to say seemingly some crazy things. but it's because I have a different perspective and I've learned something critically important. And whether Jim is making this point or not, I think he is. But whether Jim is making this point or not, you need to hear it. And I'll give that to you tomorrow. Don't miss it tomorrow at this time. Casper has done it again. They've reinvented the mattress with their new wave mattress. They've listened to their customers, and their customers love Casper. I have a Casper mattress. I've been sleeping in a Casper mattress, and it's really, really good. I sleep cool. I sleep comfortable. I get up. I don't hurt as much. But Casper also knows that there are people that have chronic pain. And they have collected 3 years of data and feedback and foam research and sleep science. And they've collected it, and they were looking for, okay, there's a great night's sleep ready for a mattress. Or ready for you with a Casper mattress. However, if you're in chronic pain, if you have pain in your hips, in your back, in your shoulders when you sleep, that's something special. So they went to work on the Casper Wave mattress, and it has all kinds of, you know, patent pending research in it, and it has a new top layer with a soft velvety feel, and then underneath is this wave. It's the way it's shaped, a curve like the original. The Wave is designed with the breathable foams, so you'll sleep cool and comfortable year round. But the Wave actually has places where your hips and your back need support. Your hips need to sink in a little bit more. Your shoulder needs to sleep in a little bit more. This is a complete breakthrough for the engineers and the people in the mattress industry. I want you to try it in your own home for 100 nights risk-free with free shipping and returns. Casper just shipped one of these to me because they know that I have chronic pain. And I put it on my bed Sunday, I think, and I've been sleeping on it this week. And quite honestly, the first night, I didn't like it. I was ready to go back to the other Casper. But I know that the first time that I also slept on my mattress, the one that I absolutely hated, the really expensive Tempur-Pedic, I loved that the first couple of nights, and I ended up hating it. It did so much damage to my body, I think. So I've been sleeping on it this week. I have had a great night's sleep every night. I'll let you know whether I like it or not, but I'm going to do what they recommend, and that is keep it for 100 nights. If you don't love it, I mean love it. If it doesn't make a difference in your life, send it back. Send it back. For $50 off the purchase of your mattress right now, you can go to Casper.com, use the promo code BACK, get $50 off right now, and if you don't love it, try it for 100 nights. Try it for at least a couple of weeks. You're not going to know unless you have it for a couple of weeks, and that's any mattress. Try it for a couple of weeks. If you don't love it, ship it back. Every dime is returned, and you can move on. So far, I'm loving the Wave mattress, and I know I really love the Casper mattress, the original. So whatever it is that you're looking for in a mattress, they have it. Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. Go there now. Casper.com, promo code BACK.
Glenn Beck.
We've come together today to love on the people that have been devastated by the hurricanes. When love goes into action, it preferences no color of skin, no ethnicity, no religious beliefs, no sexual preferences, and no political persuasions. It just loves. As we should begin to love and value our planet and anyone who believes that there is...
So Hollywood is patting themselves on the back that they raised $44 million. Wow, $44 million. And they brought all the big stars out. They had Stevie Wonder and Barbra Streisand. Blah, 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 blah. And they had all the networks. And everybody was so excited. And they raised $44 million. Who's a football player in Houston? How much has he raised? $32
million? J.J. Watt, $32 million by himself.
By himself. Yeah. By himself. This audience has done, what, $3 million?
I think about $3 million.
About $3 million by ourselves. A little radio show has done $3 million. 44. You had the networks and you had every star in heaven. Wow.
You know, I mean, we have to get to Stevie Wonder's comments at some point.
Wait until you hear why they failed and what Stevie Wonder said. It's quite remarkable. That is coming up in just a second. Also, a shooting in Dallas that even in Dallas we didn't hear about, and it's pretty compelling. Coming up.
Glenn Beck.
If you travel for business, you know how that goes. There's a lot of wins, but a lot more losses because you can have people sitting, the big fat, the Jeffy of your crew might be sitting next to you. And that's a big time loss. The person in front of you, I actually saw a video on, I think it was Facebook or Twitter, about a woman who put her bare feet in between the seats. So a guy was trying to put his on his armrest and there's bare feet there. Can you imagine that? Ugh. Well, Upside.com is going to help make this process a lot easier. First of all, they're going to save you a lot of money when you book your business travel. Then they're going to give you a gift card to places like Amazon.com every single time you buy a business trip, which is fantastic. And they're going to give you the six-star treatment you'll get from Upside's customer service specialist. I don't know if they can remove bare feet from seats. I don't know if they can do that. They can do pretty much everything else. All right, start your Upside six-star treatment right now. Go to Upside.com, use the code BECK, and you'll get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com. It's code BECK, minimum $100.
If you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you might have seen something brief about a homicide investigation in a Dallas suburb of Plano.
Breaking news at 10 in Plano. Eight people shot and killed after someone opened fire at a home. This was in a neighborhood on Spring Creek Parkway between Custer and Alma.
Alma. Now, the story might have slipped by unnoticed because it's just another violent incident, and it's a big city. Plano Police Chief Gregory Rushen made a shocking announcement the next day. It wasn't just a homicide. It was a lot worse than that.
There were a total of 9 gunshot victims discovered at the residence. 7 of these were deceased, and 2 were transported to the hospital. One of the 2 transported to the hospital later was also pronounced deceased.
Meredith Lane. She was hosting a Cowboys game. It's a watch party at her house. She bought the house, and the people in the neighborhood noticed that people were arriving at her house, and they were all wearing Cowboys jerseys. And you could smell the cookout in the air. There was laughter, people reported hearing. But just down the street from Lane's house, Crystal Sugg stepped outside of the nursing home where she works. She was taking a cigarette break. She went for a walk, smoking on the way. She barely noticed the... Yeah, I think it's good. You might want to keep it down a little bit lower. She barely noticed the man and woman standing in front of the house just up ahead until she could tell that they were arguing. She was too far away to make out what the pair were saying, but they got louder and the gestures, she said, were more intense, and she watched them for several minutes. When the woman suddenly turned to enter the house, and the man followed directly behind her and pulled out what she thought was a rifle.
I was told that there are multiple firearms, and that's all I know at this time. Multiple firearms, and they were of different types.
So everything she said was accelerated after that. After she saw the man's rifle, she started running. She ran back towards the nursing home. She started hearing heavy gunfire. She said 30 or 40 rounds. And then she started to hear screaming. Horrific screaming. She made it back home to the nursing home. She dialed 911, and other neighbors who heard the same things did the same. Now, we weren't smelling burgers, but gunpowder. First police officer arrived at the scene and walked into the chaos. Here he is describing the scene.
Well, you know, law enforcement across the country are trained in active shooter. When somebody is actively taking people's lives, and we know that we have to get in there immediately as quickly as possible, we train to wait for a partner and go in two at a time. When something like this occurs, you know, you can't wait. You have to go into the seconds matter. And this officer went directly into fire where fire was taking place and stopped the shooter's ability to continue to kill people. I think that the officer showed great bravery, and this is the kind of thing that we see every day in law enforcement.
More gunfire in the house, some of it from the brave officer who entered the fray.
Our first officer arrived in just under, or just over 2 minutes.
Okay, I think we just take this one. I think we take the, and I think we take the officer showed great bravery out. Can we get that out and just go, he walked into the chaos. Our officer showed great courage, blah, 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 blah.
Do you want that one?
Yeah, so I go, so not the chief describing the officer showed great bravery.
Our first officer arrived.
Yeah, so the siren in the ambulance. So the first officer arrived and walked into great chaos. There was more gunfire inside the house. Some of it, just more gunfire from inside the house. And then, no, you know what? Just, okay, so just to do this. Walked into the chaos. Then you have the chief saying the officer killed the gunman immediately. Get rid of the describing the officer showed great bravery. I'll say there was more gunfire in the house. Some of it from the officer who entered the fray.
Our first officer arrived in just under, or just over 2 minutes after the call was dispatched. He approached in the rear of the residence.
You didn't understand. Entered the fray. There is the SOT has moved from there up. Move it there to the siren. So I say they walked into the chaos. That's where you put the officer killed the gunman immediately.
Our first officer arrived and just under.
Then I'll say more gunfire was inside the house. Some of the brave officer entered the fray and silence gripped the air. Eight people lay dead inside the house, including the gunman. Another person died in the hospital the following day.
This is still very fresh and a very active investigation. We're still out there at the scene, processing the scene. We have witnesses still to interview. So we don't want
certain. I don't know if this is going to work. I think there's too many SOTs in here. Okay, so let's do this.
Skip that last one.
Yeah.
Should we move this to the back half hour? I think we should move this to the back half hour. Let's do something else here. We could do Stevie Wonder.
Let's do Stevie Wonder. Let's do Stevie Wonder here. Move that. We're going to do that maybe tomorrow.
45 seconds.
Yep, iPhone 10.
Love. Courage. Truth.
May I offer some perspective on the new iPhone? Everybody's talking about the new iPhone. I came home, my kids, my wife, everybody's talking about the iPhone. Oh, geez, for the love of Pete. All right, let's get a couple of things out. Facial recognition. Spooky, you bet. Better camera. Cool. $1,000. It's a phone. Here's what I'd like to say to America, please. How many people are crying poverty and oppression will be carrying the new iPhone 10? How many? Apple is a domestic phone. Apple is the phone of America, because most people in most countries cannot afford a $500 phone, let alone a $1,000 phone. The phone of the people around the world is a Samsung, because they're cheap. Yet here, you go to some of the poorest neighborhoods, poorest sections of town, and you're going to see flat screen TVs and Apple iPhones. $1,000 for a phone that is going to be upgraded in what, 18 months? The Apple 11 is coming. To me, this shows how really deeply oppressed we really are. And I want you to think about this. The best of humanity, the company called Apple. Oh my gosh, they're the best of us. They are. What do? They help pit rich against poor. And yet they're selling the phones for the wealthiest 1%. They're selling the $1,000 phone. Apple, which is so good, so ethical, has suicidal slaves making those $1,000 phones in China and paying their workers less than $4,000 a year. Let's do the math on that. 12 months of work has less value than four phones. The great socialist-loving, share-the-wealth company, Apple, who tells us how to live, had to admit last year that they pay men more than they pay women. They also own $52.6 billion in treasury bills, which makes them more powerful and the United States government more beholden to government, the government more beholden to Apple than most countries in the world. They also keep billions of dollars offshore to avoid taxes. But remember, they're the best of us. They're the greatest. They're wonderful. Look, I'm probably going to own one of those stupid iPhones. The biggest thing that pisses me off about Apple is their obsession with the clown cars of power cords. I want to know why they insist on making a product that makes Tom Cruise look like a giant. How do they do this? Why do they make all of their power cords freakishly short and completely unusable if you're actually trying to use the phone or the computer and have it plugged in? And why is it they make it completely unable? No one else can make a cord that will actually work with an Apple product. The Apple product that is made by slaves in China. Just want to point that out. To me, the Apple iPhone story screams, don't trust these people. Don't trust these people. They don't walk the walk. They don't live what they preach. All they do is preach, not live it. They preach. They're the spawn of the devil. Yeah, they might. But again, I'm going to probably end up with one of those stupid phones, and I'll love it. Unless, of course, I'm trying to use it while charging it.
It's Wednesday, September 13th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So while we're here, let's talk about all of the wonderful things that Hollywood is doing to help out the victims of the hurricane. They've just had a big gala where they raised $44 million. Wow. They had a TV network. They had every star known to man. And they raised $44 million. Whew. There's a football player who just raised by himself $32 million.
J.J. Watt.
32 by himself. He did that, you know, with Twitter. I don't know. We'll think about raising some money. Want to help? $32 million later. You spend all of this money, all of this production. You bring in every star on their, and I'm sure they were all driving the Leaf. None of them were driving anything that was seriously. They were all driving a Leaf, and you brought them all together, and you know, you had the catering trucks and the catering tents and everything else. Congratulations, $44 million. What happened here? Why only $44 million? Because Hollywood is irrelevant and they don't even know it. Hollywood, everybody is sick. I mean everybody on both sides. They don't need you anymore. To raise money, you don't need people like me anymore. You don't need anybody. You don't need celebrity. You don't need anything. If you have a good cause and you have a direct way to help, it's great. This is technology. We don't need the celebrities. And could the celebrities help? Yes. Yes. J.J. Watt, he is helping. He is helping. The problem is they fail to look at what he did, and that is, wow, people need help. Let's help them. And then I'm not trying to make a political point. I'm not trying to make any kind of point whatsoever. Let's just help them. Is anybody else bothered when you go to church? And every church is like this. When you go to church and they start talking about how you need to love people so you can bring them in to get baptized, that drives me out of my mind.
Yeah, that whole loving people so they join the faith sounds terrible.
No. It does to me, and maybe because I've had shields up on that for so long, and now that I'm sitting in a congregation and I hear people say these things, what it translates to me as, how can we get people baptized? I know. Let's love them.
Again, this does not sound bad. You're saying it's translating to you in a way that it sounds good. If you believe in the faith, you want people to be baptized. You want people to see the light, right? And a good way to do that is, what is it, hate? If you don't want love, what do you want?
No, it is the intent. And I don't think this is in the intent of the churches. I think this is how it is interpreted by some. And that is, we want to change people's minds. So let's go in and become their friends. Well, that's good.
Isn't this the entire
movie? Would you listen to me for a second? Would you let me finish?
On the show?
No. No. Let's love people. Let's actually love people. Let's actually serve people. Now, I said it's not the intention. It's how it sounds, especially when it's in churches. It sounds this way. And it's why I think we fail. I think we fail as churches sometimes. We fail with people because we have another intent. Our intent is to get you to believe what we believe. No, that's not my intent. My intent is to get you to see that I'm just like you. I'm just like you. I don't need you to believe what I believe. We just have to stop hating each other. That's my goal. Let's stop hating each other. Let's start seeing that we are alike and start seeing humanity in each other. Let's just see that, you know what? You could hate me, but why don't you hate me for real, authentic reasons? Okay?
Right.
Why don't you hate me for that? Until that time, how about we just love each other and cut each other some slack and help one another? And it's my belief that if you are a happy and genuine person, somebody in your life is going to say, you know what? I can't figure it out. You seem to have this mastered. What is it that you have? Well, I'll tell you. That's your opportunity. But we set out with, I'm going to get them in the boat. I'm going to get them in the boat. I'm going to get them baptized. I'm going to do X, Y, or Z. You know what? Do your part. And that is love people. We're missing the love people part. Actually do that. No other agenda. Love people. When you love people, they will see, wow, I like that guy. I like those people. I may not agree with those people, but I like them. Then you have all kinds of opportunities ahead of you. And then that's the time to talk about those opportunities. Hollywood is not, they did not do this because they genuinely love the people in Houston. Maybe some of them did. But far too many of them started doing things like Stevie Wonder. Listen to Stevie Wonder.
We've come together today to love on the people that have been devastated by the hurricane.
Great, music on. Great.
When love goes into action, it preferences no color of skin.
Oh boy, here we go.
No ethnicity.
Agenda.
But I mean,
no religion.
Agenda.
Beliefs.
Agenda.
No sexual preferences.
Agenda.
And no political persuasions.
Agenda.
It just loves.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
As we should begin to love and value our planet. And
agenda.
Anyone who believes that there is no such thing as global warming must be blind or unintelligent.
Okay. Lord. That sounds like
the blind guy's telling us that?
Yeah. And that's love. That's a prayer. That's a prayer.
Yeah.
That's a prayer. You must be blind or unintelligent.
Amazing. I mean, of course, and as it relates to hurricanes, that is not what even the global warming thesis says, that there's going to be more hurricanes. They actually say there's been a decrease since 1880 in the number of hurricanes hitting the United States of America. That's an amazing thing. And I think, you know, you kind of look at that and you say, why apply that there? Why insert that into the middle of this? Because you're right. Like the other stuff you're talking about, agenda, you're looking at it. I hate to point this out, but you're looking at this in a cynical sort of way, right?
It's Hollywood, yes.
A correct,
they deserve that,
cynical
yes.
way.
Yes.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying we embrace all races. And,
no, there's not.
Of
there's
course.
Not.
Those are all
there's
things
not.
We actually believe.
I
you
do.
Just don't believe it from these people because, you know, people in Hollywood are constantly
correct.
Coming with an agenda. And then he proves the point seconds later.
Yes.
Again, this
look,
is,
if he said everything that he said, look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have the Confederate flag, you don't want to stand for the American flag. It doesn't matter. We have to love you and serve you. Period. That would have been great.
It doesn't matter if you believe Harvey and Irma were caused by global warming or you feel like we've seen these storms a million times before and it's no big difference.
Exactly right.
We
have
still
to love
are there
you.
For you. And Ken, it's not that way. You're an idiot, you're blind, you're unintelligent. They can't help themselves.
No, they can't. Because their agenda is more important. And look, I want to make this really clear. Do I want people to find the joy that I have found in my faith? You bet I do. You bet I do.
Should, right?
Right. I have found great joy, great peace. I'm alive today because of that. I would not have made it without that. So I do want to share that. But that's not my agenda. That's not what I get up for in the morning. That doesn't, I'm sorry, but that is, to me, I don't even think that was Christ's agenda. That was the result. He knew that would be the result of the way he lived his life and loving everyone. Truly loving everyone. Where are your accusers now? He won't stone somebody who broke one of his laws. He won't stone them. Where are your accusers? Does that mean he was endorsing her? No. I said his agenda is love. Love. And did she go back and get right back into bed with somebody else? Probably not. How many people, we don't know this, but how many people did she change because he just showed love? He didn't stop and say, hey, by the way, and the only way is through me. He didn't do that. He said, where are your accusers? Well, I'm not gonna condemn you either. Go and sin no more. That's it. Oh, by the way, I did save you, so now I have to do this. Now you have to believe these things. No, he loved. All of our love, it seems to have an agenda. All of the love in the world seems to have an agenda. An agenda-driven love will not change anything. $44 million? That's nice. It's nice. when Hollywood stops with the agenda, maybe they'll be able to make a big impact again. Booking travel, flights, hotel, rental cars can be overwhelming. With Upside.com, Upside will reward you with a gift card to places like Amazon.com every time you buy a business trip. And the treatment you're going to get from their customer service specialist, they call Navigators, is truly amazing. Navigator noticed an Upside user was booked in a middle seat on a 3-hour-plus flight, so her Navigator upgraded her to an aisle seat with more room. That's sweetness.
Really nice. What if you prefer middle seats?
Then you're screwed.
Okay.
Yeah, then you're screwed. Upside Navigators are accessible 24/7, voice, chat, email. You can message them on the Upside app. They will even reach out to you because they'll say, do you like the middle seat? Because I can put you up there. And they will help you before problems actually happen. So go to Upside.com. Use the promo code Beck. You get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com. If you're in business, this is the way to travel. It's promo code Beck. Get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com when you buy your next business trip at Upside.com. You deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchases required. See site for complete details. It is Upside.com.
Glenn Beck.
We've come together today to love on the people that have been devastated by the hurricanes.
Amen.
When love goes into action, it preferences no color of skin, no ethnicity, no religious beliefs, no sexual preferences, and no political persuasions.
Hallelujah.
It just loves. As we should begin to love and value our planet. Anyone who believes that there is no such thing as global warming must be blind or unintelligent.
Thank you,
Lord.
Sir. Lord,
please save us all.
Oh, the political agenda mid-prayer is something that I just have grown to love so much. By the way, I'm curious, because we're talking about global warming as is associated to these hurricanes. And I'm curious if Stevie Wonder could point out to us whether it is blindness or unintelligence that comes from the Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory at NOAA. Curious as which one they are. Is it they're blind or they're dumb? Because what they have found, here's a quote, "In summary, neither are model projections for the 21st century nor our analysis of trends in Atlantic hurricane and tropical storm counts over the past 120 years support the notion that greenhouse gas-induced warming leads to large increases in either tropical storm or overall hurricane numbers in the Atlantic." Are they blind or are they dumb? I assume Stevie's going to point this out at some point. I'm curious if potentially they could also, maybe anyone in Hollywood could kind of point out whether they feel The Economist is dumb. Their latest story, hurricanes in America have become less frequent. Going back to 1880, the trend for all hurricanes is down. Over and over again, we've seen this. We've seen this again from NOAA. "It is premature to conclude that human activities and particularly greenhouse gas emissions that cause global warming have already had a detectable impact on Atlantic hurricane or global tropical cyclone activity." They're going to throw this stuff around. They're going to put it in the middle of your prayers to try to get this point across. But knowing the facts is going to beat that every single time. Back with more in a second.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
There is a good thing happening in Portland, Oregon, and Pat Gray is here.
It's a great thing.
And you know it's true.
Of course it's true.
It's true.
It's true, and I'm tired of the racism.
Me.
Aren't you?
Me too.
Sick and tired. I'm fed up.
Yeah.
Portland will stop labeling gang members as, well, gang members. Because it disproportionately affects minorities.
Okay, well,
so
wait, you mean that the gangs are in the minority areas, disrupting?
No, the people being labeled gang members are, there's more minorities than white people.
So there, what,
oh, thank goodness somebody has said this. Wait. No, okay. Go ahead.
What he's saying is basically they are taking people who aren't in gangs and calling them gang members because they're black. I think that's the point
you're making. You're saying that they're inaccurately calling them gang members.
It is people that they have caught in gangs and people who have shown gang tendencies and people who have been arrested for gang crimes. They tend to label those gang members, but they're not going to do that anymore because more of them were black and Hispanic than white.
Can I tell you something? Finally. Seriously, I mean this. Finally, the truth can be told because I am sick of the same thing. Mm-hmm. For instance, those white supremacists, I'm sick of them being labeled white supremacists because most of them are white.
Most of them are.
Disproportionately white.
There's not a lot of Hispanics.
No, and I am sick of that label going to members of a white supremacist group.
I'm just waiting for this announcement now. Paging Dr. Apocalypse, your four horsemen are saddling up and ready to ride. Dr. Apocalypse, please pick up the white phone. Your four horsemen would like to talk to you.
Oh, man.
It's coming. And then this I love. You know, I've got a little thing with the TSA.
You're not a fan.
I'm not a fan. I hate the pat down. And it's gotten worse.
Even though it's named after you.
Actually, it's like a different kind of pat. I don't know if you know that.
Huh,
yeah,
I don't.
It's a different kind.
Okay, all right.
Earlier this year, they quietly instituted this this new pat-down procedure. And then I think this was a reporter from USA Today, and he went through the system and experienced it firsthand. And he didn't love it. he actually didn't love it. He describes the pat-down as they run their hand inside the passenger's waistband. All the way around. Mm. And then they run it up the back of each leg until they meet resistance, which I guess is a buttocks or a crotch.
Or a punch in the face.
In the face.
Right.
Then they run it up the front of the legs multiple times until they do the same thing, until they meet resistance.
If you said this in a different tone with some music on, this would actually be sexy.
Do we have any porn music that we can...
I don't think. Handy.
Really?
Then they swipe in the front of his hands over the top of the zipper four times. He says over the...
Well, five times you're going to have to buy me a drink.
Yeah, at least a drink.
Right.
Maybe a steak.
Right. Or a cigarette. Some, you know, five times, depending. It just might... Dude.
And I love this last line. That last part was the most unpleasant. You think? He also mentions the fact that they touched one guy's crotch while he was there. Eight times.
Yeah, because there's... I don't know what the number
is. Eight times.
It's a lot.
Eight times is a lot.
Can I give you a recommendation for what my number would be? Zero.
Zero.
I would like it to
well,
be.
Yes, thank
this
you.
Is, I mean, you're being an extremist, but I sincerely think that's only about eight times more than someone in an airport should be able to touch my crotch.
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I think if you, I mean, think of it. Let me just say this. So I went to the airport. And this guy is running his hand over this guy's crotch eight times. Isn't that something like we would have called the police on? Yeah.
Yes.
This is the police.
I mean, it's like, attention child molesters and sexual deviants. Are you sick and tired of being arrested and even put in jail for your crimes? Have we got good news for you? Instead of being arrested for simply doing what you love... Get paid for it! The TSA wants you to molest your way to fabulous pay! It's just, can we stop? Can we stop with it? Can we stop? And it's random.
Yeah.
It's random.
Didn't we spend like billions and hundreds of billions of dollars on security measures that don't involve groping? What are those things we're walking through all the time? Aren't they supposed to find guns and stuff?
That's what I thought. It's not working. It's just not working.
I guess not.
The system sucks.
Pat Gray Unleashed today.
Yeah, the last about 2.5 minutes was the most obvious conversation, I think, in America today.
It should be obvious. And apparently, it isn't.
I know.
It's policy.
But that is the point. It's it's the most obvious conversation. But I think it's the. I think we're the only ones having it. I think.
I know.
Think, you know, there's a group of people in America that are like, yeah, totally.
We've become sheep. Okay, you want to touch my crotch? Go ahead. I'll just stand here and take it.
What was the lady who had this recently? And she went to a congressman and complained.
Right, we had that story a couple of weeks ago.
Right, and she came back out after like 6 months, and she was like, "You know what? I've totally changed my mind.
I think they were doing their job, and
there's really good. And I think this is a really good thing that people should be not complaining about." I mean, it was. Oh, did they put a rat cage on your face? I mean, I just want to know: are we there yet? Mm-hmm. Where there's a rat cage on your face until you're like, "No, I'm fine with this. I'm totally fine with this."
Remember when we were in Tampa, Glenn, years ago, and they instituted the 6 foot rule? And this was at strip clubs in Tampa, which, you know, there's only one every 12 to 15 feet. And
you cannot get 6 feet away from a stripper if you're in Tampa.
If you're in Tampa.
Anywhere. In church, you are within 6 feet of a stripper.
So they implemented this 6 foot law that was supposed to ban lap dances. Mm-hmm. So the stripper could not come over and sit on your lap. She had to stay 6 feet away. Mm-hmm. And it's like, here is a person who's going into an establishment. Both sides are willing to make this transaction. Mm-hmm. The guy is so into it, he's willing to pay to get touched. Mm-hmm. And yet the government decides they have to keep 6 feet away. You go through a line in an airport, you don't want to get touched.
And you can have your jewels felt up.
Eight times!
By a total stranger. And that's fine. That's perfectly fine.
It's so bizarre.
You just gotta deal with it. Sorry.
And the really sad thing is, you're paying for it too.
Yes, you are.
I mean, they can stick a finger up your and you're like, I don't know, I'm paying for that. And there's no, I mean, I get nothing out of this. I mean, I don't think
an airport. What happened to you?
I mean, if you're gonna do a cancer screening at the same time, maybe.
You should check if there are actually planes at the building you went to. It doesn't sound like an airport. Up next on the Blaze Radio Network and TV Network is Pat Gray Unleashed.
Yes.
Show 3 today. Very excited. Shows 1 and 2 are very good.
Thank you.
Anything else you have planned for today?
New Alex Jones video, which is tremendous. He stumbled onto something really staggering. And
can you hang out for a second? Hang out for a second. I want to get a preview of this. In a crisis, you rise to the level of your preparedness. Hurricane Harvey and Irma, great examples of this. Was it the same as Katrina? Was the response in Houston or even in Tampa, I mean Florida, and it's unfair to do it to Florida because it wasn't as bad, but was the response the same? No. So whose fault is that? Is that, you know, that President Bush hated black people? Is that because Donald Trump is just the greatest president of all time? Or were the people in the area prepared to be self-reliant and to help others? And in the other area, they weren't. They were trained to come help me. I need help. People rise to the level of their education and their preparedness. My Patriot Supply is the one you should trust with your food storage. Get their 70-serving survival food kit for only $67. I'd love to hear from somebody who has actually used their survival food kit either in Houston or in Florida. If you've actually dipped into it, I'd love to hear from you. Healthy food that lasts up to 25 years, and for less than a dollar per serving, you get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if you're in the hurricane area, it all floats. We all float down here. 800-977-0542. Order online at preparewithglenn.com. A prepared America is a strong America. And that is my Patriot Supply's mission. 800-977-0542 or preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck.
Before we let Pat escape into the radio broadcast studios just down the hall. We
I have to get an update on the Alex Jones uncovering of the plot to...
Well, yeah, if you want to know what's really going on.
Yeah.
If you want to know what's really going on in the White House.
Okay, all right.
You want to know what's really going on?
Well, I don't know if this is what's really going on, but...
This is what's really going on.
All right, okay.
Alex said, I believe this was just yesterday, it's known that most presidents end up getting drugged. I mean, obviously,
it's
right?
It's known. It's obviously
not to most presidents wind up getting drugged.
It's gonna happen. It's going to happen to every president at some point or another. Is what we all know.
I'm not
sure. It's in the Constitution.
I'm not sure known by anybody but Alex Jones. But anyway, go ahead.
But I've talked to people, multiple ones.
Oh, multiple.
It's not just one person. He's talked to multiple people about this, and they believe that they're putting a slow sedative that they're building up that's also addictive in his Diet Cokes and in his iced tea, and that the president by 6 or 7 at night is basically slurring his words and is drugged.
This guy's amazing.
Now, first, they had to isolate him, obviously, to do that.
Of course.
So notice, oh, he's mentally ill. Oh, he's got Alzheimer's. The president's about 2 months into being covertly drugged every night. Now, I'm asking.
Wow.
I'm risking my life, by the way, to tell you this.
Yes,
what an amazing man.
That's why I was so astounded that he was willing to share this with us.
Yes.
Should you be praying? Obviously,
this is deep state doing this.
Yeah, of course.
He's put himself in grave danger over this. Mm-hmm. I was physically sick before I went on the air because I'm smart.
He was sick because he's smart?
Well, he's smart enough to know that his life is in danger now from deep state.
All right, okay. I thought maybe he was drinking, does he drink the Rumsfeld plague? Or
no.
Is
no.
that, because that's what I
no,
believe.
He's too healthy for that. He's got supplements he takes.
I do believe that it was Alex Jones that said that Diet Coke was killing everyone because it was Rumsfeld's plague.
Yes, I think he is on that bandwagon.
But so is he not saying that with Donald Trump's Coke?
Trump, according to Alex, Trump's such a bull, he hasn't fully understood all of this yet. But apparently Alex is trying to get it through to him that Mr. President, you know, and in that voice that he has where he slurs his words
constantly.
For some reason. Mr. President, you're being systematically drugged every night in your Diet Cokes. But he hasn't gotten it through to him yet.
Huh.
This is amazing.
Trump's just too tough. He's too tough to listen to that kind of nonsense. He doesn't care.
So this is the news that, you know, you don't hear everywhere else.
No.
You just don't hear it everywhere
else. And this news about Alex could lead to other things from the past that Alex has said, too, just as a reminder.
Oh, so you have a reminder.
You want to come over and play?
Oh, you have miss
a,
you. I miss
yeah,
you.
You have a reminder today.
I have a reminder today.
Okay.
Yeah. It's coming up in a few minutes.
All right. Can we just do one sweep up on something that I haven't mentioned because I just think it's ridiculous. Ted Cruz is now being accused as being a porn addict because he liked a porn video
on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Mm-hmm. His account be clear. I mean, he is not.
Oh,
he's saying
you're already,
not him.
Oh, you're already making excuses.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised. Some people seem to actually believe it was him. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, you don't know people. You just don't know people. Could it have been? Sure, it could have been. Do I think it was? No.
A lot of people find porn to be just fantastic. And so a lot of people watch it. That's why they make a lot of money. There's a lot of people in it for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible that Ted Cruz is watching porn? I guess. Just like it's possible anybody is. Mm. However, the idea that Ted Cruz is on his official Twitter account searching for porn and mistakenly clicking like seems really unlikely to me. Seems like it's more likely that one of these social media management programs where you can be signed into multiple accounts, one of his staffers probably in the wrong account and doing the wrong thing in the wrong account is what it seems like. Now, he did blame staffing, and people who think Cruz may have done this are pointing to his response in this situation. He said, in all seriousness, there's a number of people on the team that have access to the account, and it appears that someone inadvertently clicked the like button. When we discovered the post, which was an hour or two later, we pulled it down. So it wasn't you? It was a staffing issue, and it was inadvertent. It was a mistake. Is this person going to be disciplined or terminated? We are dealing with it internally, but it was a mistake. It was not malicious. So people are saying, well, why didn't he just say no? It wasn't me. He didn't actually say no in that exchange.
Because this is Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
He's, I mean, Ted Cruz is exact with absolutely everything that he says all the time. Pass the sugar, I don't think has ever come out of his mouth. He's exact because he's playing 400 different scenarios in his head all the time.
So
he's answering the question.
So it wasn't you. The answer to that question is no, it was not me. And he said it was a staffing issue. It was inadvertent. It was a mistake. So my reading on that, honestly, is whoever did it is somebody he really likes and doesn't want to fire.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to get down that road where people are going to try to look for that scalp, which is bizarre because the only people who don't like Ted Cruz are basically run porn companies. Like, I mean, like it's the left that doesn't like him, right?
Well,
I mean, largely speaking,
the alt-right doesn't like him either.
That's true. I mean, you know, we have a president of the United States who's appeared in, you know, in Playboy and run multiple beauty contests in that realm.
Yeah. Could this have been Ted Cruz? Yeah. Is it likely that it's Ted Cruz?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Just from the mechanics of it. I mean, if you're going to watch porn, you're not going on Twitter on your official account.
May I just give you some perspective on this? What difference does it make in your life?